This week on the Client Whisperer Show, we're kicking off our Legend series and interviewing an amazing leader, Blake Schofield. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Client Whisperer Show. I'm your host, Tony Banta, and I am the Client Whisperer. I've spent over a decade running multiple six- and seven-figure client businesses, and I've learned that the secret to success in a client business comes down to one thing: leadership. Bad client behavior is the enemy, and with the right curriculum, infrastructure, and mindset, you can lead your clients to great success and scale your business the easy way.
Welcome to our 18th episode. I can't believe we've almost hit 20 so far episodes on the Client Whisperer Show. So thank you so much, listener, because this wouldn't be possible without you and your help in listening. And so many of you have also left reviews, and I just want to say I'm so incredibly grateful for every single one of those reviews. It's been incredibly heartwarming to read. You know, some are funny, some share ways in which the show's helped them. Some are contacts of, you know, mine where we've been able to add value as a client. But for every single one of you that have, you know, left a review on iTunes, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And if you want to leave a review, you can do that by going to clientwhisperer.show/review. We give you the link, and there's a little video there showing you how you can do that. So thank you so much. So I am really excited about this interview today, because Blake Schofield is not only a good friend of mine. We've known each other and been supporters of each other's entrepreneurial journey over the last few years, but she's also a really amazing coach. She's a really amazing leader. And that's what this Legends series is all about. We're kicking off our Legends series, Legendary Client Fulfillment, with this interview with Blake. And we're doing that because Blake is a perfect example for whom, when it comes to their client success, enough is not good enough. Just serving their clients with what her commitment to them is not good enough. Blake is also a client, which is actually new. When we did the we talk about this a little bit in the interview, but in between when we booked her for the interview and when we recorded, she actually came on as a client so we could help her scale a little bit. And this is important because our clients, the people that we help, you know, we usually find them in one of two different places. Sometimes it's in the place that Blake is in, where they're getting incredible client results. We have some clients who have 99%, 95% client success, which is just incredible. But also is usually not sustainable. It's usually not scalable. So we help them take that incredible client success and make that scalable. And then, you know, some clients come to us because they're not getting 90% client success. They're in a very scalable model, but the clients are, but maybe not scalable because, or they don't want to scale because even getting 50, 60% client success and maybe even, you know, less than that. I've certainly seen offers that have been 20 and 30% client success. Is not making them want to scale, want to bring in more people. And that's what we want to highlight with this Legend series. We want to show you what legendary client success looks like. We want to show you what legendary client leaders look like. And so we're going to show you a mix of people, both inside of the coaching and consulting industry, and then other client businesses, and even some leaders who treat their customers like clients, treat their people like clients, but most industry experts would call them customers, would call them something other than a client or a client leader. So we're going to look at that whole spectrum and help show you a little bit about what it takes to provide legendary client fulfillment. So without further ado, let's introduce you to Blake.
Hey, Blake.
Hey, Tony. How are you?
I am awesome. I am so glad that you were able to make some time to join us in our Legends series, our Client Fulfillment Legends. I've known you, we've known each other for a few years now. We met in a mastermind a ways back, became fast friends, became unofficial accountability buddies, right?
Yes, yes.
And spent some wonderful time. We got to sort of see each other as we've both grown our own businesses. And I asked you to join us for our Legend series because you are one of the smartest, toughest, business people that I know, for starters. But beyond that, you care about your clients so darn much that it oozes out of your pores. And so I wanted to celebrate that and to hear some of, your experience in that, the highs, the lows of serving clients impeccably.
Thank you. Thank you so much for what an awesome introduction. And yeah, it's been so much fun. I think it's always amazing when you go into one experience expecting one thing and get so many incredible benefits that you had not expected. And I think our friendship for sure has been.
For sure. It has for me as well. So I would love, I introduced you a little bit before the interview, but I'd love for you to share in your own words who you serve, because you have this, tribe of incredible women. So can you describe a little bit about who you serve and what you help them do?
Yeah, sure. So I help driven, heart-centered professional women. And when I say heart-centered, really what that truly means is women who believe in and are very focused on helping others. They tend to be people, and many times end up putting themselves last. So I help those driven, heart-centered professional women who really found themselves at this career crossroads. They are really unfulfilled in their career. They've been very successful, but they're looking at this and saying, this isn't it anymore. And what the heck do I do next? How do I do more meaningful work? And so I help those women really uncover and understand how they can use their skills and their passions to do work that they love every day and have more time with their family, without having to worry about taking a leap or going in the wrong direction, or in many cases, taking a substantial pay cut because they don't actually understand how to position themselves for success. And so my clients go down different paths, but they're all at that crossroads. I have some clients who want to change industries or career paths, some clients who've really determined corporate is not for me and I want to start my own business. And then I have clients that I call kind of on my unsure path, and those are women who are debating both. They really just aren't clear. They feel really lost and really trapped and aren't sure what's the right path for them, and I help them really navigate and figure out not just what that right path is, not just what their unique skills and value and how they can transfer their skills into something to do really meaningful work, but then I help them actually craft the plan to get there.
That's awesome. And this is personal for you because you walked this same pathway yourself to some extent. Do you want to share a little bit about your experience in corporate and what made you want to get out of that?
Yeah. My business is certainly a labor of love. I definitely believe that I'm doing the work that I am meant to be doing. It's, really my calling to do this work. When you say I walked the path, I walked a very, very long path. To really understand the entire journey, you'd have to go all the way back to, my very early 20s. I always knew that I was passionate about people. I went to college to get a degree, a PhD in marriage and family psychology. That was what I was going to do. And my junior year, I had this revelation of wait a second. This path isn't really what I want. And I felt really lost at that point. And I had a lot of people advise me to go into human resources. You love people going to human resources. And so I spent a couple years in human resources and I found myself quickly bored and not feeling like there was enough. My mom said, you knew it wasn't strategic enough. I don't think I actually put those words together. I just knew I was building training programs and doing the internship program. And I was tracking, like, how many more people, you know, did we actually end up keeping from the intern program and bringing on as full-time employees versus last year? And nobody was looking at that stuff, but I was. I needed the numbers to feel like the work I did mattered. And so I started looking around human resources, and I just am looking at all these jobs thinking, this is not it. This is not what I want to do. And there were pieces of what I did that I loved, but something was off. And I honestly went into a pretty deep depression about it. Thank God for my husband who put up with all my crazy career stuff. And, you know, my husband saw my passion for merchandising. I had been recruiting people into merchandising. And so he said, you should go into merchandising. You love it. And you have an eye for fashion and all these things. And that was true. And so I transitioned into corporate merchandising. And there were a lot of moments, a lot of days, a lot of months where I really loved some of the work that I did. But through that 16 years, I found myself in this constant cycle of thinking it would be better when I got the next promotion, thinking I would be happier when I reached some status. And this sort of constant unsettled feeling that I thought my work would be more meaningful. Like I would do something more meaningful. And here I was, you know, just honestly moving up the ladder really fast. The average time I spent in a job, I think, was about a year and a half. That's very atypical. Most of the time it's 2.5 to 3 years for people. And I was bored out of my mind after about 6 to 8 months out of every single job, just dying to move. But I really started to learn some of the things I really love to do. But as I got further in the career, I feel like those were less and less, and I was spending a lot of time doing stuff that was not enjoyable, that was frustrating. And so for me on that 16-year journey, I moved companies 4 times. I worked 5 different companies, but 4 times on the merchandising track. I moved cross country a couple of times, really hoping that I could finally solve my problem. In 2010 was probably the biggest and what seemed like at the time the biggest risk I ever made, which was leaving Texas where I grew up, where my family was, and moving cross country to Minnesota to go work for Target. And at the time I was terrified of that move. But I had gotten to a point where I was so burned out and so exhausted from working 70 hours a week. I knew that I couldn't continue to work in my industry or my career path anymore. In this way, I really felt like before I was 50, I'd have a heart attack.
Wow.
I thought the problem would be solved when I got to a company where I could have work-life balance, right? I'll be happy when I can do all these things I love in my job and I can finally have work-life balance. And that actually lasted for about a year and a half. And then yet again, same cycle again of like frustration, feeling boxed in, feeling like I couldn't do everything I wanted to do, spending a lot of time doing stuff that I didn't enjoy, or I thought honestly was a waste of time. Mm. And, you know, it kind of continued. I made another move to California, hoping that changing into a different variant of retail that was more cutting edge, where I could run the entire business by myself, would finally solve that problem. And all it did was really put me back exactly what I had walked away from retail before, all the stuff I didn't like. And for me, that was the final straw. That was when I finally said, I'm done. I'm done with corporate retail. I'm done with corporate and I want to run my own business. And so I share that entire journey because I think most of my clients have been feeling unfulfilled for years before they come talk to me. They've suffered the same issues that I've suffered in terms of believing that they can't replace their income, feeling guilty that they're not happy, feeling like something's wrong with them because they're so successful. Everyone else thinks their job is so fabulous. They've achieved all these things that maybe they didn't think they would achieve or it was the goal they always had. And yet something is off, something is missing. That constant sort of unsettled feeling that I should be doing something different is there. And because my personal journey was so long, I have yet to find somebody who has, I've yet to have a client or a woman come to me who has experienced something I didn't already personally experience. And so I think that makes me exceptional and different, I think, in the way that I serve my clients, because I understand the journey at such a deep personal level that a lot of other people don't, because they haven't been there in the way that I was.
Yeah.
That is awesome. And the way in which you help them has changed a little bit over time. There was an interesting shift that you went through, and we, I was there, you know, I was kind of like there on the sidelines with you as you, you know, as you had some of these revelations, and, but a lot of that last pivot, and correct me if I'm wrong here, sort of came from you checking in with your clients and like you asking what your clients needed, what was the most valuable part for them, and really listening to some of that feedback. Do you want to share a little bit about that shift that you went through earlier this year?
Yeah. So I think most business owners, because I see this with my clients all the time, come in with one perspective about who they are, what they do, how they serve people. And the reality is that I always say, building a business is a personal development journey. You know, so many people don't understand that. They just think it's about the tactics, and it's truly not. You have to have the tactics, but the tactics without the personal development will never create the type of fulfilling and really successful business that you want. It'll just be like another job, except you're the boss and responsible for everything. That's the way I see it. And so for me, part of my personal journey was really being able to understand how I best helped my clients. And so some of that came right through getting their client stories and their testimonials and hearing how they talked about what it was like to work with me and what was most valuable. And I remember just being really surprised by what they were sharing. I had in my mind a really clear perspective about what I thought I did, and what I thought why they were coming to me. And it really became clear through the feedback. They were all giving the exact same feedback about how incredibly life-changing the work was, how the amount of clarity and purpose that they had for their life, how much more they understood and could stand in their value, how it had shifted their life from feeling like they didn't have control over things to really truly realizing they could create whatever they wanted for their lives. And so it really made me stop and say, wait a second, am I really trying to help women make money leaving corporate America? Or am I really helping women understand who they are as people, what their unique gifts and skills are, and truly give them the possibilities for their life, and then help them have a roadmap to make it happen? And, you know, that was, I think, sort of the first sign. Then I had a client that went through my program. I initially just started out, you know, for the audience who doesn't know, I initially just started out helping unfulfilled women, same type of women, but they were clear they didn't want corporate. I initially started out helping them figure out, build their own custom business models and become entrepreneurs. I still do that, but I now do a lot more than that. But I had a client come in who wanted to be an entrepreneur. She had worked. She'd actually gone through her own coaching certifications to learn how to be a coach. She had worked with multiple coaches, and she did not have clarity on like what she should do in life and where she should go. And as we worked through the process, 2 months into the program, she called me up and she said, I'm so happy. I have so much clarity. I know exactly what I need to do. And she wrote me this long note and said, what you do is amazing and I'm in awe, but I don't need any more help. I don't want to be an entrepreneur. And in that moment, I thought, oh, have I failed? What did I do wrong? And I think this was actually a conversation you and I had, and you're like, wait a second, you just served her and she's super happy. And she went and got her own coaching certificate, worked with all these people, couldn't get any of that clarity, and she got it, and she has peace, and she knows where to move forward in her life. That's success, right? Shouldn't that be client success? And I think that really challenged me to start thinking differently about what was client success. And what was I expecting for success versus what was I really understanding that my clients needed? And in the next several months that followed, you know, I personally did a lot of personal development, and I think it became really clear through conversations I was having with my clients. They actually started telling me, hey, Blake, you should be doing this for women that like are also unhappy in corporate, but don't want to be entrepreneurs. They need this. This exact same stuff you're doing is exactly what they need. And like, you're missing a huge amount of people that need your help. And so all of those things sort of come together to make me realize, wait a second, what I'm really doing is helping women understand and stand in their value, get clarity about what their options are, what's the right and best fulfilling path for them, and then help them craft that plan forward. And so at that point in time, I expanded my business to, like I said, all of women at this career crossroads, whether you're making a career change or elevation, you want to go into entrepreneurship, or you're debating both paths. And when I did that, it just opened up, I think, so much possibility for me and really allowed me to expand so much more in the things that I do exceptionally well.
That is awesome. I love that story. I've actually quoted that with a number of, you know, clients. I've actually, not by name, but, you know, used that example. And now we will be able to use it by name. We'll just point them right back to this episode. But it's such a powerful example of really listening to what the client needs. And I think about all the people who, had you not made that shift, all the people just that you've served since that shift, where it's just slightly different. It's just a slightly different, you know, way of approaching it. It's really the same core kind of belief, the same core kind of transformation. You're helping them be a different kind of person with different standards and with a much different quality of life. But the tactical piece is just slightly different. So I love that. That example. And it's a great example of some of why, the, you know, as we were looking for what will be our first, our first annual of the Legends Award sort of series, it's some of why we looked at you, because you're willing to change. You're willing to change for the client. You're willing to change to get the client the success that they need. And you're willing to listen so that you're not going in with your idea of success, is some of what I heard from that story.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, that's what I tout all the time for my clients is self-awareness. And the path to self-awareness, right, creates more fulfillment and happiness. You know, for me, I learned some of that through my experience at Target, which was tremendous, about learning your viewpoint versus other people's viewpoints and how can you grow and learn in different ways and be open to that feedback is a gift. That's what we always used to say at Target, feedback is a gift. But I think it's also just expanded, and the more open I have been to just learning and hearing, the more capacity I have to help people, the more joy I have in the work that I do. And for me, I tell every single client that comes in, you know, I'm very picky about who I work with. And if I'm not the best person to help you and that personality match is not there, you know, I will suggest to you another option or a referral. But every woman that comes in, I want to make sure crystal clear that the goal is that she leaves saying, you know, this changed my life. This is one of the absolute best investments I've ever made. And in order to hit that, I really have to have that kind of really deep and transparent conversation to really understand who I'm helping and what is best for them.
100%. That's awesome. What is the hardest part about caring as much as you do and serving clients on things that are, I mean, you help them with, you know, business. There are certainly business and objective kind of factors in there, tactical factors, things like that. But you also help them with, you know, mindset. You help them with their life in general and their way of thinking about that. What are some of the hardest parts? Because you get into some you know, personal things with your clients. So what are the challenges that, you know, come up along that journey for you?
I get into a lot of stuff, a lot of personal stuff with my clients. I like to say, honestly, that by and large, I know my clients well enough that I'll know what they're thinking. I can already sort of get ahead of that thought process, which is very helpful. From a relationship standpoint, to be able to help guide them and help them see what's coming and where things are going. I think for me, some of the hardest pieces are, you know, I always like to say, when you're talking about somebody in this crossroads period of their life, it's a very emotional time frame.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people feel very alone, very isolated. And, you know, my real thing is to make sure that my clients know that I'm walking this journey with them. And sometimes that means literally I have a client reach out to me in a panic because she has a meeting that got set up on her calendar and she thinks she's about to get laid off or put on a performance plan. Sometimes it's I cannot, my boss screamed at me today and I can't take another day. I'm going to quit. Here's my resignation letter. Will you, you know, how do we handle this? Sometimes it's, there's this amazing job opportunity and, you know, I just want to make sure I don't screw this thing up. So those things are always, you know, the unexpected things. And I think sometimes for me, that's a challenge because I know the importance emotionally in that moment for that client. And so being able to balance that, how do I be available, but also recognize and hold the boundaries of, no, I don't work weekends and no, I don't work evenings, but still really give them the support that they need. And, you know, that's always a balance I'm working on. But you know this well, I always, if I can, I always try to err on the side of like, if I know my client needs it and I can take 10 minutes to go answer it, I will. You know, I had a client call me in a panic that she had interviews and felt unprepared, and wasn't sure about the salary element. And I just went and got on Loom and made her a quick video, did quick research, sent her a 10-minute video. And you know, the things I hear from my clients are that those moments when they're in a panic, those moments when some big opportunity comes and I just put together a video and send it to them are the ones that they say, right? Like, that was exactly what I needed to hear. I completely changed how I felt. I was able to like go and accomplish what I needed to accomplish. And so for me, it's that balance of how do I make sure and provide that support, but also recognize that, you know, I have three kids and a husband and other things outside of work. And so balancing my commitment to my clients and my understanding of their emotional needs in this journey and some of the urgency that on occasion does come with making sure I don't get out of whack personally doing that.
Sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's a super important thing. That's a super important thing to focus on. After all, burned out Blake is not the best person to help those, you know, clients. So that balance is huge. That's awesome. What's been the biggest surprise that you found after several years of working with clients in this way?
I think for me, probably the biggest surprise is to realize how many women are in the same spot that I was in. I think that that's incredibly surprising. And the reason I say that is, you know, there's some unique things with my clients that were unique about me. She's usually the breadwinner or at least like 55% of the income. That drops out a lot of women who don't have that kind of pressure. It creates a very different situation. She is very driven. She never really wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. Her career is an extension of her identity. And again, a lot of women don't understand that. A lot of people don't understand that. And so when you couple that also with this deep caring of people, you end up with this interesting synergy of which I found very consistent patterns, thoughts, mistakes, journeys that I didn't realize when I was in it. I really thought that something was wrong with me. I really thought that I was alone. I didn't have anybody else that was could relate to what I was saying. People were like, you have this amazing job and you make all of this money. Why are you not happy? You know? And I think having experienced that for such a huge part of my life to recognize how many women are just like me, how many women are suffering in that way. And then to be able to see that, because on my entrepreneurial side, I have an element where, you know, they are a group and we have events and to see that moment when it strikes them that, wow, I'm sitting in a group of women that have felt and see life the same way I do, have the same values, is pretty amazing. And I think that was surprising. I didn't expect that there would be so many with the exact same, making the exact same mistakes, exact same thoughts, exact same process. And you just start to see it over and over again. And you're like, wow, there really are. It's just so consistent time and time again. And I think that was surprising to me. I felt like maybe it was more of an anomaly and I would have more variety in that. Not to say there's not variety. Every one of my clients is unique and individual and different. But there's enough synergy that happens that you start to see the common pitfalls, the common beliefs, the common things that get people hung up. And that was surprising.
That's awesome. Is that healing for you to be able to see
that like see your struggles kind of turn into a more graceful path for so many people?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the entire first year of entrepreneurship for me was very healing. In a lot of ways, when you can express stuff that you've not expressed for years and have somebody else say, me too, right? Yeah. Like, me too, I felt the same way. I get emotional thinking about it because I know I can't tell you the number of calls I get on women that say I felt alone. And for the first time I read what you wrote and it was like you were speaking to me. And I think about the decade plus I felt that way and had nobody. And it was very hard. It was a very hard journey on my own. So it is very healing to be able to help women realize that there's nothing wrong with them, that they're not alone. And to see somebody not have to suffer through what I had to suffer through to get there, it for sure is.
Yeah. They're so incredibly lucky to have you. I'm so glad that you do what you do, you know, in seeing some of that. And of course, we've talked about this, you know, personally as well. I come from a family with, for a while I had a you know, single mother, and then she married my, you know, stepfather. But, you know, even then she was, you know, she was very much the, you know, corporate mom, the working mom. And so I come from that world of both seeing all of the, you know, all of the great parts of that, right? Seeing that strength, seeing the, you know, being able to have that model, all of those, you know, wonderful parts that I'm incredibly grateful for. And then also experiencing some of the same things that I hear you talk about with, you know, your people of the, you know, that struggle when, if they want to be able to succeed at work, they have to work those 50, 60, 70 hour weeks, which leaves so little time for their family. And that, you know, I can remember that, you know, certainly not always, you know, like my mother was very active. You know, I don't mean to, you know, I'm certainly not going to rag on my mom in a podcast, but, you know, I can remember those times where like, it was even a tear for her where she needed to, you know, travel, she needed to be away. And so to see you helping, you know, not just your clients, but also the family of, you know, people that are connected by that, that get to, you know, that get to experience the second, you know, the secondary, you know, benefits of that is just huge.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a big part of my heart and the work is, you know, to really be able to impact the family. And you know, it took me a while in my business to actually realize like the heart and the starting of this actually for me was a lot of my growing up. And, you know, my parents divorced when I was young. My mom was a single mom raising two kids, and she was very stressed about being able to perform well and succeed. And she had a long commute, and she had, you know, early on like financial struggles making, you know, it all work. And as a kid, I saw that growing up, and I saw her change careers a couple of times, and I saw her get laid off, and I saw her start her own business. I'm doing something that wasn't really the right fit for her. And then I saw her finally find the right fit for her, the place where she truly could leverage her skills and was appreciated and became so much more successful than I think she ever thought that she could be, even though my mom is a brilliant woman. I don't think when she started out her career, she thought that's what I'm going to be doing is consulting with the CEO of Walmart, telling him what I think he should do for business. But that's what she was doing. And I don't think it really hit me until I was in the business a while that a huge part of my heart around this was trying to solve the problem that she had. That as a little kid, I watched that journey of what a different mom she became when she had that job where she stood in her value. And she just became a different person. And so for me, a lot of that is sort of helping women do that same thing. Because I know that it has such a significant impact on their kids. And I also know my mom didn't have the choices today that we have. The internet didn't exist. Flexibility didn't exist, right? Like so much of these things didn't exist. She had no choice and she worked as hard as she could, to balance it all. But today there are so many more choices. And I think women still are behaving like it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Instead of actually recognizing that you don't have to work 60 or 70 hours a week to be successful now. and you can put yourself in a situation where you are very successful, but also have a great balance for your life. And so for me, some of my childhood really does drive some of that, because I saw the significant difference for my mom. And I think, you know, I want our kids to grow up. I want my kids to grow up. And I know my clients want their kids to grow up seeing a really positive example of a working mom, and not just a mom who was successful, who was stressed out, who worked all the time, that made a lot of money, but a mom who used her skills to make a difference. A mom who was successful and had the great job and was home for the kids, and really allowed the kids to see a healthy example of being successful. And I think there are so many women in corporate America today who know in their hearts that they are not setting that example for their kids. I know I was not. And when we behave in that way, when we're working 70 hours a week, when we're constantly stressed out, when we're complaining about working on the weekends about our jobs, we are teaching our children, oh, when I get a job, it's hard. I won't have any free time. I'll have to work weekends. I'm going to be miserable, but that's what it takes to make money. And for me, I started to realize this is the lesson I'm teaching my children. Like, you don't have any choice. Your job takes over your life. And I just didn't want my kids to grow up that way.
Yeah, that's a great principle. And that's also a great effect. You know, that's a great effect, because the people who think work is hard are going to, they're going to shy away from that, right? They're not going to want to embrace all of the beautiful, like, non-monetary things that actually come from work. Of, you know, seeing that fulfillment, seeing the, you know, I know for me, we're recording this on our, you know, like, we're recording this to go live on our podcast, and I get a kick every single time I wake up, and it's usually my, like, morning routine to, you know, listen to a podcast while I'm, you know, while I'm getting ready in the morning. And but like, I get such a kick out of waking up and seeing my own podcast in my feed. And I rarely listen to myself, because that just seems, you know, because that just feels weird. But, you know, being able to have that gratification of seeing, yeah, that's something that I built, and seeing the, you know, seeing after it goes live and seeing all of the views, you know, start to come in, and those, you know, those stats, and seeing, of course, the, you know, comments of, you know, people that helped. Like, geez, even if I wasn't making any money, I think that I would still want to do it because it feels so good. And if we think that work is hard, and if we feel like it's, you know, daunting, then we're robbed of so much of that. So that's a great lesson and a great example. I'm so glad you shared that.
Yeah. And I think the other thing it does, Tony, that I would say, because I just see it all the time and I lived it, right, is we create these patterns of putting ourselves in a situation where we believe it has to be a lot of hours. We believe the only way we can succeed is doing that. And so we create these cycles of massive burnout and exhaustion because we overvalue work in our lives. And that's what I see consistently with my clients, many of whom come to me. And after working for a decade plus in corporate, having kids, they have totally lost who they are as people. Like, they don't do hobbies. They don't have any time. They don't work out. They don't take care of themselves. And such a significant portion, their job has literally taken over their entire life. Yeah. And a lot of it is sometimes these belief systems that in order to be successful, I must do X, Y, or Z. And if that's what you watch your parents model, you know, that's what you also believe to be true, even if it's not.
Totally. Totally. Switching gears slightly, there's a really interesting, I'm so glad that you're here for so many reasons, but there's a really interesting dynamic that, you know, we have that I would love to share with our listeners, because we had you booked for, you know, one of our legends. I don't want people to think that we staged this, right? So, like, we had you booked as, you know, one of our legends. I was looking back in our chat, and, like, I think it was like 5 weeks ago, like 6 weeks ago, we booked you for this, as we were, you know, as we were just getting ready to, you know, launch, this series. But since then, we've had a few conversations, and you actually, you absolutely are, you know, legend. You have, you know, you have legendary client success and, you know, client fulfillment that we want to celebrate. But even as a legend, you actually just rolled into our audit program. And so I would love it if you would be willing to just share a few of the reasons of, you know, what made you want to
do that? What made you want to have a second set of eyes on your fulfillment? Because a lot of people from the outside, especially listening to this, would, you know, look at your success, what you do with your clients, and say, wow, she's made it. Like she's doing it. She's great. But, you know, why, because all of that's true, right? You have this amazing foundation of success. What made you want to go deeper and, get some help in that area?
Yeah. So for me, you know, my mission is to change women's perspectives about what's possible for their lives with regard to career, family, lifestyle, right? All of those things. And so, I have an amazing business that I'm incredibly grateful and proud of. But the work that I need to do is well beyond what I'm doing today. And I really want to be able to help more women. And I know that that's really the path that I need to be on in order to really fulfill, really fulfill, in my opinion, what my mission is, what I'm supposed to be doing in this world. And so for me, as I kind of look at growing and expanding and being able to help more people, what's really important to me is that I don't lose the foundation of what I've created. And such a huge part of why my business is successful is the level and degree of which, and the nuances of which, I understand my client journey and the relationship I have with my clients, and really giving them someone who truly understands them when most people are not. Most women are not as driven and career focused as my clients and I am. And so, you know, you look around and it's hard for them to find someone that really gets them. And so for me, I really wanted to make sure that I protect that, and that as I grow my business and as I, you know, shift into the CEO role and expand my team, that I do so with client success at the forefront, because that's what this entire thing is about. If I'm not helping women to transform their lives, then why am I doing what I'm doing, right? It doesn't matter that I help thousands of people. If it doesn't make a significant impact, then I, in my opinion, have failed. And so for me, as I started to look at that, you know, my business has been phenomenal. I've been at capacity for a while now, and just being able to bring in somebody as somebody else rolls off. And it's a wonderful situation to be in, but it's also a situation which I recognize doesn't enable growth and doesn't enable bigger impact in the way that I want to. And so for me, one of the reasons that I really came to you and your team is we are both very aligned in terms of, I think there are a lot of people, I guess I'll say this, having been in the space, in the coaching space and the online space for the last 2.5 years, I think that there are a lot of people out there who are very quick to, hey, I have something, I'm going to create something, and I'm just going to put it out there. And if somebody doesn't get results from it, they didn't do the work, that's their problem. And you and I are not in agreement with that mentality, right? It's not okay. It's not okay to do that. And for me, that's been a huge part of me being thoughtful in the growth of my business, was I'm not okay with just packaging my stuff up and 10% of people getting results. That's not acceptable to me. Yeah. And I really want to ensure that the reputation that I've built for the last 20 years, you know, since I've been, you know, working, stays intact, and that I truly offer significant value to the people who come to me. And unfortunately, I think there are a lot of great service providers, but I think there are a lot of people who don't really care. They just put stuff out and then sell it and make money. And I'm just vehemently opposed to that perspective. And I have a huge trust level for you and your team on understanding and standing in that high level of value, because your mission is to help transform more people's lives through enabling those of us that are experts to do that. And it's such a core piece of who you are as a person. It's as integral to who you are and what you're passionate about as me and what I do. And so for me, I trust that, the work that we do together will maintain that integrity first, and then focus on how to free up time and how to scale and how to do all those things. And not everybody has that perspective.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you for the compliments in there. You know, that I am incredibly appreciative, you know, for that. And I'm really glad that you were able to share some of that, because I think that there are a lot of people that are in that place where things are, there was a quote, I think it was by John Lasseter, from Pixar, success hides problems. You know, there are a lot of people when we're doing well, when we're getting that success, when we're having success, whatever that, you know, means, that's a perfect time to look at the, you know, what are the other things we need to do, because that success, casts a shadow, casts a, you know, blind spot. Once we get in there with a flashlight, then the system, you know, the system that you use to, you know, get that success will, you'll be able to apply that to, you know, help many, many more, you know, women, and make that even easier on, you know, your end. So I'm excited to, you know, dig into some of that, for you, and, I'm there with you. That'll be great. And maybe we'll see what the audience says. And if you, would be so willing to, you know, maybe a little bit later after we go through that, you could even share some of your example. And you could share some of your experience, I should say, you know, doing that. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see how that goes.
I'm excited for the work. Yeah. I think, you know, you talked before about just being open. In many ways, that has been one of the greatest gifts, is just being willing to recognize what you're exceptionally good at and what you're not as good at, and being able to recognize the value of truly surrounding yourself with people who have skills that can complement yours in really amazing ways. And so, you know, when I think about this, I think for me, I mean, we've been friends now for a while, so I have the privilege of being able to have gotten, you know, some of these tidbits, but I think some of the ways of which you have challenged me to think about the business and how results are created, right, that there's actually systems within the systems that I'm not even aware of that are creating that success. And I think a lot of experts and a lot of coaches don't think about that. They just get really hung up on thinking, well, I'm the only one that can do it, and it only happens this way. But there's a logic you use when somebody comes to you with a problem or a question, and understanding that logic then can reverse engineer the process.
Yep.
And so I think that, you know, just through our friendship and our conversations, you've really helped open my perspective to the fact that there's a lot of that that's probably waste and rework of me constantly doing the same thing over and over again, that it really is the same logic. It really is the same process that then could enable me to have more bandwidth to handle the things that need more specificity, versus some of the stuff that, again, it's just the path. It's the same challenge.
Yeah, 100%. It will be our sincerest privilege to, you know, dig into some of that with you. That'll be, you know, that'll be exciting. I can't wait to see what comes out the other end. Blake, I am so grateful for the time that you took, today to share some of, you know, your message and example, with our audience. For our audience, if you, you work exclusively with women, right, Blake? Okay. So if you are a woman, or if you know a woman who, is in corporate, who wants more, who's not fulfilled with exactly what they're doing and knows where they want to go, or maybe they even don't know where they want to go, where can someone find you to get some more information?
Yeah, so they can find me. I'm really active on LinkedIn. So it's just Blake Schofield. It's spelled like school, S-C-H-O, and then field. They can also find me on my podcast, which is called The Bridge to Fulfillment. And I'm also on Facebook under Blake Schofield-Connections Illuminated.
And we will drop those links down below in the show notes so that you can get to Blake right away. And Blake, you have an amazing podcast as well, called?
Yeah, it's called The Bridge to Fulfillment. I enjoy podcasting just like you. I enjoy it so much.
It's so much fun. Yeah. So one final question we're doing a little series on. We're kind of asking everybody this. So one final question: what does client success mean to you?
That's a good question. I don't know if I can be succinct, so I'll just give you some of the tenets of what I think.
Go for it.
Client success is defined by the client. But to me, and again, maybe this is just my approach and the types of clients I work with. For me, success with my clients is challenging the boundaries of what they thought was possible for them. Mm-hmm. Somebody will come in, right, with one expectation. But to me, success is when I help them achieve that and then I help them see more and enable them to be able to do that. So I feel successful in the work I do with my clients when my clients come back and tell me that it has really significantly changed their life, that the investment was so well worth it, and that, you know, they got everything that they were hoping for, and in many cases more. To me, that's how I define success.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that and so much more of your experience today on the Client Whisperer Show. We will hope to have you back again in the future. But in the meantime, Blake, everybody can check you out. And those links, again, they're in the show notes. Or if you're listening in, you can go to clientwhisperer.show and check out the show notes there. See you soon.
Thanks, Tony.